Welcome to Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone. We're coming from up above you tonight. Just a little bit of a different setup, but it's a horizontal camera. Some have requested, and you'll be able to have your questions answered on Facebook Live. For the rest of you that are listening on the podcast, you'll get to hear those questions. So, Ron, we didn't get to hang out tonight. What were your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are very impressed with the poise and the fact that the Jazz stayed calm and came back and won the basketball game. Watching things unfold, we knew that this Dallas Mavericks team was a three-point shooting team, and they play very, very hard. But things just happened in reverse. I mean, the Mavericks averaged 34 attempts from the three-point line. It was the Jazz that got up 35 attempts tonight, so I thought that was very important.
People are saying no sound. Let me see if we can get that sound to work. I think that sound should be working now for everybody, so hopefully on that. There we go. People are saying that's better now. Thank you very much, people. I screwed up. Okay? That's all it is. All right. So Ron answered that first question. I didn't hear any of it because everybody was saying that they couldn't hear. But, you know, there is something impressive to being down 14 and turning it into a blowout win. I mean, that was quite a swing. You've got to be a pretty good basketball team to swing a game like that.
Well, especially when you lose the momentum. And the way the Jazz were able to come back, again, making three-point shots and moving the basketball. The turnovers was impressive there as well. The Mavericks have only been averaging 14 a game. It was the Jazz that had 14 turnovers tonight, and the Mavericks ended up with 24 when the Jazz have been averaging 20. I mean, things just happened kind of in reverse. What the Mavericks were good at, the Jazz were bad at, and it just worked out in reverse tonight.
Okay, there's two things tonight that I thought were really impressive defensively. Well, okay, Rudy was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I mean, his best night of his career is against Dallas, 27-25 last year. This might have been close.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that. The other two that I wanted to mention were Ricky Rubio. Rick Carlisle made an interesting comment. Like, if you listen closely, you can kind of learn every now and then, and Carlisle's the dean. He said that Ricky Rubio is really hard to switch on because he gets his hands in on everything.
Yeah.
There were two or three plays tonight where Rubio either intercepted a pass off a switch, or there was one where Dirk got it in the post right in front of you, and Rubio reached in and altered his kind of rhythm and forced him to miss. Rubio's defense tonight, four steals, but I thought he eliminated Dennis Smith Jr. from the game completely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then also when they tried to get all the switches, it wasn't as though they could do it. I thought Ricky really was terrific tonight.
I saw two or three things in it, and I'm going to get to with Rubio. On those switches, especially the handoff switches, I mean, when they're trying to screen him, he sticks his hand in there between the screener and the two defenders anyway, and comes up with deflections that way. Then he runs up behind to try to come up with the basketball. So that's something that I saw. Another time they were posting up, and one thing the Jazz did do very well, and not just Rubio, Alec Burks did it. I told Joe Ingles did it. They really fought down on the post to front guys to make sure that they didn't get that entry pass. Dirk was trying to post up Rubio. Finally, he gets in a position to receive the pass. The pass was thrown in. He comes underneath and deflects the basketball before Dirk could come down with it. I mean, he's just a pest. You know, he's doing something all the time. He gets rid of the basketball. He goes and gets it. I mean, he doesn't stand around. So it makes it awfully hard for him to defend. And I see exactly what Carlisle was saying because he'd be a tough guy to try to defend.
The other one, and these are probably the two unsung heroes today, we'll get to the sung heroes, was I thought Cephalosha's defense is incredible.
Yeah. I love the way he competes and the fact that he can guard maybe, what, three positions.
He guarded the point guard for a while. He guarded Berea. He's the one who broke Berea's rhythm.
Yeah, and Berea had it going on.
Was Bowler insufferable?
He's kind of quiet, and I did mention it to him, and he does like Berea. I have to talk to him about that because every time he made a three, it was like he put a little more oomph into it.
Oh.
You know, you have to stop that.
Bowler,
you know?
And Berea.
Yeah. But, you know, and plus he's a tough kid. I mean, you just might have to give it to him. And Berea is a tough kid out of Northeastern, and no one gave him a shot at making the pros. And here he is, what, 14th year or something like that? So it's unbelievable.
Well, it's interesting. I said on the air that I actually thought he might be the hardest matchup for Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Westbrook, you've seen him. Berea's got every trick in the book. You don't know what they are. I mean, he grabbed Rubio on that one play where he drew the offensive foul.
Right.
He does everything. Mitchell, and then he abused Donovan Mitchell in the most veteran way, where Donovan would help off him, And then he would go take three steps just away from where Donovan had helped, so that then Donovan thought he was going to be able to get back to him, and Ekpare was three more steps away from where Donovan thought, and he hit back-to-back threes. Like, it was actually really subtle and kind of awesome to watch, particularly because we won.
Well, they have two crafty players. Devin Harris is pretty crafty.
Boy, he's tough,
well.
Man,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to the heroes of the night. Rodney Hood has really struggled in first quarters. He gets two fouls trying to guard Dirk tonight. On switches and is out, kind of out of the game again. The Jazz fall behind. It's like, come on, Rod. And then he just goes nuts in the third quarter.
Well, he had a heck of a ball game with only 15 shots there as well. So he was on. He was making the shots. He ended up 9 for 15. He was 5 for 9 from the 3-point line. Now we've talked about if Rubio is going to be our leading field goal percentage, not field goal percentage, field goal attempts person on this team, then we might be in trouble. So I think Rodney Hood understands that, and I know he's been talked to about this, and I know Johnny Bryant's been working very, very hard at him. I was very impressed with one time he drove to the basket and just took it right into Wesley Matthews to make sure he was going to get to the free throw line. So he's growing, I think, to be a scorer, not just a shooter, and I think that's going to help his game.
And then there's Rudy.
And then there's Rudy.
You look at the 24 turnovers by Dallas, a tremendous amount of those were that they drive into the basket, see Gobert, and have to throw a pass they didn't intend to throw.
And that gets them in trouble there as well, because lots of times they get up in the air, especially the young players. And incidentally, welcome to the NBA, young.
Dennis Smith.
Dennis Smith and Pharrell, Yogi. And Noel. But in reality, Noel's
he turned down like $64 million, by the way.
He did? Excuse me. Well, anyway, Rudy said, okay, welcome to the NBA, the way he protected the paint.
Yeah, and Smith tried to get up on him three different times and got blocked every time.
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, but I guess you just keep trying. And Rudy says, thank you very much. He came up with 6 blocks. That was a new season high for him, and the old season high was 5. But I'm impressed with Dallas. I think they play very, very hard. I know they take a lot of threes, and I think they'll get better. They have 6 undrafted players on this team, so they're guys that are playing very, very hard, and I think Rick Carlisle's a pretty good coach.
Yeah, and we're a bunch of little element things. It's interesting. Did you think that Quinn made big coaching adjustments? He really gave the credit to the players afterwards, just said they did it better, they emphasized it more, they stopped over-helping, which I think was the comments to Donovan a little bit. They did a better job. I loved the comment they had to guard their yard and not get caught in the blender. And he thought they just did it better in the second half.
I heard Quinn say that, guarding their yard, and I'm you know, you put together a defensive plan, and if you stick with it, then coaches feel that you have an extra chance of winning. And maybe that's exactly what he was talking about. Maybe they did overextend in that first half, especially when you have things going like the Jazz did early in the ball game with turnovers and scoring off the turnovers. I think Mavericks may have had 5 turnovers early and the Jazz scored 10 points, you know, right away. Then you start feeling good about yourself. You start overextending and maybe you don't pay attention to your defensive assignments and you get yourself in trouble. So I'm sure that was brought up at halftime, and the Jazz were a different team in the third quarter.
So a lot of questions just came in. They're a little harder tonight to get to just because of the screen being sideways. We only get one question at a time. There were a lot of questions that came in about Rodney Hood's streakiness. And it's a really interesting thing to discuss, and it's a longer conversation, but if he's your leading scorer, you can't afford him to be streaky.
Right.
If you need him to be 18 every night, if he becomes – there's 2 different types of players in this league. There's what the coaches call 50-50 players, and then there's coaches that play – I've heard coaches say they're guys they can pen in. You would rather have Rodney be penned in for 18 every night than to be 25 one night and 11 the next night and average 18.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, you lose every time he goes to 11.
That is totally right. I mean, that is a great way of thinking it, and hopefully, you know, he's been talked to about that. And you're going to have nights where you might be 6 for 18 shooting, but you could be 6 for 7, 7 for 7 from the free throw line. That's where that scoring mentality comes from rather than just being a shooter. And once he understands that, and from I've listened to one of the interviews, and I think he's starting to get it, that in order for him to be that complete player and the leading scorer on this team, then he has to add something else to his game.
Fact is, this defense is great. That's the other one. It's just great. I think they held him to under a point of possession again tonight. That wraps up Postcast. Thanks for the questions, and thanks for your involvement. Ron Boone, thank you for stopping by after TV tonight. We'll be back together Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm so glad, David.
Thank you.
I missed you too, Ron. That is Postcast. Have a good night.